Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Dalet. The last thing that we learned was that, according to Rebbe, you need five dayanim, and he understands that that's because the word Elohim, which is cursed twice in that pasuk of Asher Yashion Elohim, and then it also said before Ada Elohim, Yavo, the two of them are meant to be two times two, because it uses the word Yarshi'un, and Yarshi'un is Lashon Rabim. So since we have four, and our klal is Ein Beit Din Shakul, so according to the Rebbe, you need five. Sarekat Hamishi. And then the last thing that the Gemara said that we learned yesterday was that the reason that the Rabbanan don't agree with Rebbe is because since it leaves out the Vav in the Pasuk, it says Yarshi'an instead of Yarshi'un, so it's not a standard use of the Lashon Rabim. So we go according to the way it's written, not according to the way that it's pronounced. Now that, of course, is a very big sugya, which is the difference between Yesh Eim LeMikra, the Yesh Eim LeMasoret. So do we go according to the way that it's read, LeMikra, or do we go according to the Masoret of how it's meant to be written, even though it's not pronounced the way that it's written? So Rebbe, apparently over here, says, well, it doesn't matter if it doesn't write Yarshi'un, but that's the way that it's pronounced. So he's going according to the way that it's read. Mashenkin, the Rabbonin, who say, we only have a right to learn two Dayanim here, because it's Yarshi'an, and therefore the word Elohim is singular, and we have two singular Elohims, equals the Besdin of two, and Ein Besdin Shaka, which makes three. So that means that we have already a machlokus over here, whether we say Yesh Eim LeMikra or Yesh Eim LeMasoret. So now this opens up today's daf. Omer of Yitzchak by Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, I can give you a long list of people who all are involved in this sugya, because here we just had Rebbe, and I'm going to show you Rebbe Yehuda ben Ro'etz, and Beit Shammai, and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Akiva. These are some pretty heavy-duty shitot, and they all hold Yesh Eim LeMikra. Now, Rabbi, we just learned that. Rabbi Adamaron, Asher Yarshi'un, is not the way it's written, so it's not the Masoret, but it is the way it's pronounced, so it is the Mikra. Now, I'm going to show you that Rabbi Yehuda ben Ro'etz holds exactly the same thing that Rebbe holds, and that we go according to the way it's pronounced. And that's because, take a look at this braita. Shalu Talmidim et Rebbe Yehuda ben Ro'etz. It says in the parsha of a yoledet. So it says over there, im nekevat eled v'tam'a shivu'ayim kinidata. Now, how do you know that shivu'ayim is meant to be read 2 weeks, since it's written without any vav, and it looks like it says shivim? So maybe it means that a woman who gives birth to a female is supposed to be tmeya for 70 days. If that's the case, maybe indeed, yochote yoledet nekevah tmeya shivim, as is written. So he said to them, Rabbi Yehuda ben Ro'etz, it doesn't make sense to say that, because, look, we find that the Torah gives yemei tuma for yoledet, and you made Tyra for your letter. Now, it gave you made Tuma, and you made Tyra for a Zohar. And it gave you made Tuma, and you made Tyra for a Nekeva. Now, the days, the amount of time that you're Tohar is actually double the time that you're Tame. So just the same way, Markashitiher Bazachar, so the same way that we said, that the case of how long the Dam Tohar goes on for is double in the case of the Leda of a Nekeva than it is in the case of a Zachar, so that it would be exactly the same, should be the same period of Tuma, should be also doubled in the Nekeva. And therefore, it would make much more sense that we would understand that the whole thing, if you're Tamei for 1 week for a Zohar, you're Tamei for 2 weeks, Shvu'ayim for the Nekeva. And it would be exactly the same thing. You have 33 days of Tahira, for the boy, and you have 66 days for the girl. So basically, you're doubling the yumetum and yumetah. If you're going to tell me all of a sudden that it's 70 instead of 2 weeks, it's not connected at all to the pattern that the Torah was laying out in terms of the dinim of Leda. Anyway, that's what he told them, and it sounded good. But Lamaisa, when they left the room, he suddenly realized, oh, my God, that's not a good shot. And so he ran out after them, and he said to them, listen, wait a minute, come back here. That's not the correct approach. The correct approach is, you don't need that. That's a very complicated way to prove to you. I think there's an easier way. If you read the pasuk, it says shfuayim. Okay. So in other words, initially, he was trying to prove it without needing to say that you have to read the pasuk according to how it's pronounced, because he thought you would go according to how the Masorah is. And it's written without that vav, so you can read it shiv'im. But when you take a look at the way that it's actually pronounced, it's shvuayim. And therefore, you don't need this whole thing, because since we read it shvuayim karinan, that's the din. Yesh aim lenikra, and we go, fundamentally, we go, obviously, there's always a remozim from one to the other, but if it's a question of which one is the primary explanation, yesh aim, that aim means that is the fundamental, the foundational, yesh aim to the way in which it is pronounced. So, therefore, there's no need to torture yourself when the word is shvuayim. How do I know that Beit Shammai also holds that you go according to the Mikra? It's not. Beit Shammai omrim, kol anitanim amizbeach hachitzon shenitanam b'matana achad, wherever you have a korban that you needed to put dam on the mizbeach, that's not in, we're talking about the dam of all of the korbanos, of course, except for those very few korbanos, the Seirim, the Nasim, Mifnim, Par Halam Davashot Tzibor, and Par Koin Mashiach, and so on. But all of our normal korbanos that are put on the Mizbeach HaChitzain, if you made just one Nesinas Dam, since it says in the Torah, V'dam Zivachecha Yishafech, so all you need to do is to actually pour it out once. And that would be sufficient. However, if you're talking about a korban chatas remembers a completely different type of the sinas dam. The korban chatas, instead of being put into a cup and then poured out from afar against the side of the mizbeach, actually you take your finger and you put it on the upper part of the mizbeach along the kranot. And there we have a different halacha. We'll see where the mocker of that is. So you're supposed to put on four matonis, and in order for it to be kosher, you need to have made at least two out of those four matanot. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, there's no difference between the chatas and any other korban. It's always one matana that is sufficient to be mechaper. Now, how do I know that this has anything to do with the machlokas of Yesh Eim Lamikra, Yesh Eim Lamasoret? Because Rav Huna explained, what is the whole basis of Beit Shammai, my time of the Beit Shammai, who says that you have to have two matonais? He says, well, if you take a look at the three psukim that talk about the korbonais, there are three chataos that are mentioned in the parsha of the chataos, where it says in each one of them, V'lakach ha-kohen midam ha-chatat b'etzba'o v'natan al-karnot mizbech ha-olah. Now, the thing is, one of those is the chatas masi, one of them is the chatas yochid, which is a kivsa, and one of them is a chatas yochid, which is a seira. Now, the thing is that three times it mentions karnot, but it doesn't spell it karnot three times. It only spells it karnot once, and the other times it leaves out the vav. So Rav Huna said, well, Beit Shammai is reading that pasuk, karnot. So karnot is two of the corners of the mizbeach. Multiply that times three, karnot, which is written three times here for those three korbanas, the chatas nasi, the chatas kispas yochid, and siras yochid, and you end up with six. Harekan sheish. Now, that sheish, four of them are lechatchila. Now, there only are four kranot, so why does it say six? Because two of them are insisting that it be done. Remember, the klal is when it comes to kachim, anything that's repeated is ma'akev. So since two out of the six are repeated, because four is the maximum that you could have given, therefore it's telling me four is what your mitzvah is. And these additional two, they are ma'akev. If you don't bring at least two out of those four, then you're not going to be talking about the karban being kosher. You're going to have to bring another karb. Whereas Beit Hillel says, but it doesn't say karnot three times, doesn't. It only says karnot once. The other two times, it says karnat. At least that's how it's written. And therefore, what we really have, if we add it all up, is four. Karnat is one. Karnat is one. And karnot is two. And that means that we have four, not six. And I say three of those is lechatchila, and one of them is ma'akev. Well, wait a minute. If Beit Hillel only has a total of four, maybe none of them are ma'akev. So, ema kulu l'mitzvah. I mean, Beit Shammai had six. He said four of them exhaust the number of kranot there are, so that's the mitzvah. And then the other two are repetitive. But if Beit Hillel only has four, so then he only has the four that are there lechatchila. Where does he get anything being ma'akev? He should say that it's only a mitzvah lechatchila. That's ridiculous, says the Gemara, because kapara bichdi lo ashkecha. Look, there has to be something that's mechapra on the mizbeach. You can't say, I'd like you to be mechapra on the mizbeach, but if you're not, it's okay. That doesn't make any sense. So if there's only four that are mentioned, then obviously only one of them is going to be ma'akev, and that's why Beit Hillel holds that. But that means that the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is about this very issue. According to Beit Shammai, we go according to how it's read, which means yesh eim lemikra. And according to Beit Hillel, we go according to the way it's written, which is karnat, karnat, and karnot. Okay? That's what I told you about Beit Shammai. Now, I told you that Rabbi Shimon also goes according to the way that it's read. How do I know that? The Tanya. When we're talking about a sukkah, so remember one of the walls of the sukkah, we have a Kabbalah of Lachal HaMeshim Yisinai, that one of the walls can be even one tefach, instead of having the full shear of the normal shear of the sukkah. So we have two walls, which are seven tefachim, and we have one tefach on the third wall. But that's a machlokas, because Rabbi Shimon says, yes, two walls, kehilchasan, full walls, and the third wall comes along by Lachal HaMeshim Yisinai and says you can get away with even a tefach. This is the shita, however, of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon says you need three walls, kehilchata. The fourth wall you can get away with being only a tefach. So what's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? Rabbanan hold, you go according to the way it's written. And Rabbi Shimon holds, you go according to the way it's read. So now let's take a look at the psukim. Basukot teshvu shivat yamim. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot. L'man yedu dorotechem ki basukot. Oshavtes b'nei Yisrael. Three mentions of the word sukot. The way they're all pronounced is basukot. Problem is that actually the first two times it says basukat. It's pronounced basukot, but it's written without that vav. And that's the basis of the machlokas. Rabbanan say, look at how it's written. It's written basukat, basukat, and then the next one is written basukot. So you have a total of only four. Now, one of those psukim is not there to count. One of those psukim is coming to tell me the din that you have to build a sukkah. Okay, so now you have three sukkot that are mentioned, which are three walls, comes along the Halakha L'Meshmi Sinai and says, well, one of those three walls, you can actually get away with only making a tefach. So Atai Hilchata comes along the Halakha, Gara'ata L'Shlishit, and it cuts down the third wall to the size of Ukimta Tefach instead of the full-size wall. Rabbi Shimon Savar, no, you go according to the way it's read. is red basukot, basukot, basukot. All of those are plural. That's 3 times 2, and that is 6. Now, one of those psukim, of course, is there to tell me the fact that you need to build a sukkah. Okay, fine. So now we have 4 mentions here of sukkot. 4 walls. Comes on Malach Lamesh Misinai. That's why I told you that, according to Rabbi Shimon, he also buys into the way it's writ. Yesh Aim La Mikra, the mother of all interpretations, so to speak, the foundational interpretation, the aim is the way it's writ. Rabbi Akiva also goes according to the way it's writ, the Tanya. Rabbi Akiva Omer, how do we know that if you have blood, we know that a revius of blood is definitely metame ba'ohel. We know that. But I want to tell you that even if this revius of blood is not from one body, it's a revius that comes from multiple bodies, nonetheless, it is going to be metame in the ohel. How do I know that? Minayin the revi da mishnei metim shemetamei ba'ohel, shenemar al kol nafshot met lo yavo. Now it doesn't write nafshot, but it's pronounced nafshot. There's no vav, so it's really written al kol nafshat met, but he's pronouncing it al kol nafshot met. So that would mean you have 2 nefashot, and you only have 1 tumas mes. That's telling you, shtei nefashot, and 1 shiur of the revius, which is metame ba'ohel. And why do the Rabbanan disagree? Precisely because there is no vav, and the way that it's written is nafshat meit. And therefore, tanya the Rabbanan, it's written as if it's nafshat. Nafshat is a single. And therefore, you don't have a raya that you can use, actually, a mixture of dam in order to be metame with the shiur of 1 revius. Okay, so now, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, apparently there's an awful lot of Tanayim who hold that you have to go according to the way that it's read. Yesh Eim LaMikra. Now, the problem is that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, what do you mean there are lots of people? There can't be anybody who doesn't agree to this, don't you see? Mi Ika Deletla Yesh Eim LaMikra. I ask you, is there somebody that you know of that does not believe that there is an Isser in the Torah of cooking meat and milk? Well, how do you know there's an Isser cooking meat and milk? All it says in the Torah is Bachalev Imo. But how do I know how to pronounce that? Why does it say Bachalev Imo? Maybe it should be read as Bechalev Imo. Maybe the Isser of Lo Tevashel Gedi Bechelev Imo. Do not cook meat of a calf in the fat of its mother. How do you know that it means anything to do with milk? So maybe it means Yochol Bechelev Imo, in which case there would be no way for us to prove unless, Amrit, well, you're forced to say that Yesh Eim La Mikra. Since the way in which this is read in the Torah is Bachalev Imo and not Bechelev Imo, so then nobody argues on that, and there doesn't seem to be any other basis for our being so sure that Bosor Becholav is the Isser. So you see that everybody has to hold that Yesh Eim LaMikra. So what are you making me a list of Tamir HaChomim? There isn't anyone that wouldn't be part of that list, my friend. Okay, so then what Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef had said has got to be changed because it doesn't work to say that there are those who hold Yesh Eim LaMasoret and would not hold Yesh Eim LaMikra, so then how would they know about Bosor Becholav? We're forced to say that the machlokasin that Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef just explained are all around another issue. Not around Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMasoret. So how do we explain that? Well, the truth is we don't have any elegant way of explaining it. We're going to have to take a look at each case individually and find the machlokas between the shitas in that case. So let's start back at the top. Ella, Nikulei Alma, Yesh Eim LaMikra. We've now shown that everybody's got to agree that, of course, you look at how it is read. So what's the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan about whether you need 3 dayanim or whether you need 5 dayanim? A whole different issue. Rebbe says, Yarshiun Elohim is talking about other Elohim. Remember, there were 2 Elohims that were mentioned here. Ada Elohim Yavod Varshneem. And Asher Yarshiun Elohim Yeshalim Shnayim L'Reyehu. Okay, so like we said before, Rebbe holds Yarshiun Elohim is Lashon Rabbim. That's the way it's read, and we're all agreed about that. And we've got 2 mentions of these Elohims, Ada Elohim and Asher Yarshiun Elohim. So we've got 2 + 2 = 4, and you cannot have a Bezdin Shakol, and therefore you have 5. Masha, that's the way we said it before. Here we're not changing anything, but the Rabbanan are not arguing according to this new approach because Yarshiun is written Yarshiyan. Nobody holds that the way we're claiming now. So the reason that the Rabbanan say, despite the fact that Yarshiyun actually does mean Lashon Rabbim, but it's the same people. So Rabbanan hold the Yarshiyun is talking about the 2 Elohims that are mentioned here. Each one is a Yachid. Put the 2 together and you have Yarshiyun. But you don't have each one of them as a Yarshiyun. So together you have 2. Ein Bezdin Shako, make 3. According to Rebbe, together you have 4. Ein Bezdin Shako makes 5. Now, as far as the next case was, Rebbe Yehuda ben Ro'eitz, we said that basically he also holds Yesh Eim Lemikra, we said. Well, nobody disagreed with him. He went running after the people, and he said to them, look, what does it say in the pasuk? It says, Utmeya Shivu Ayim. Did anybody agree, disagree? No. Fine. So that's fine. We're claiming that everybody holds that. So we don't have to worry about Rebbe Yehuda ben Ro'eitz. Then no one was arguing. Now, what about the case about Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, which we claimed was based on the machlokas of whether we read Karnat or we read Karnot? Now we're changing that. Okay, so what's the basis of the machlokas, where Beit Hillel says you only need 1 matan dam on a korban chatas, and that's sufficient. And Beit Shammai holds you need 2 matnes dam. We're going to have to give a completely different explanation now. Well, the reason that Beit Hillel says you only need 1 matana is because the Torah says 3 times, v'chiper ha-kohen. So let's look at the idea of the Karnot HaMizbeach. Let's talk about the first part, v'chiper ha-kohen, and then forget about where he puts it, al-Karnot HaMizbeach. So we've got this 3 times that it says v'chiper. Now, why do we need the mention of 3 times to say v'chiper? So the reason we do that is because if we didn't have those 3 times, we'd be up the creek without a paddle. You know why? Because we have a din that we were trying to work out on our own without any kind of psukim. We were trying to work out from the notion of the pasuk, is it necessary, and comparing it to what we know about korbanos, is it necessary to have more than 1 matan dam? And it turned out that we were stuck, and we were not able to prove it one way or the other. The only way we're able to prove it is, as Beis Hillel says, look, the reason the Torah had to write this for Chiper 3 times is because we're stuck. And here's how we were stuck. We started off by saying, hello, Dinu. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? You can figure out yourself that only 1 of the matanes dam or ma'akev, because, look, we know that all of the matanes dam that are brought on the bottom part of the Mizbeach. Remember that the Mizbeach was cut into 2 parts by a red line, the Chut HaSikra. That Chut HaSikra was midway on the Mizbeach. The Dam of a Chatas is put on the top of the Chut HaSikra, Chatas Behema, and the Dam of an Eilas Behema is put beneath the Chut HaSikra. So that means if we're talking about an Eila, or we're talking about a Shlomim, or we're talking about an Asham, all of those things are lamata michut ha-sikra. The korban chatas behema is lamala michut ha-sikra. So, we've already shown before, nobody disagreed, that the damim that are put lamata, that are put on the lower part of the mizbeach, it says, v'dam zevachecha yishafech, right? So we know you only need 1 of those. And the same idea of putting dam on the Mizbeach is mentioned, both lamata and lamala. So nemar damim lamata, the nemar damim lamala. So my argument is, look, we know that damim amurim lamata, if you only gave them once, that's enough, because it says v'dam zvachecha yishafech. So then, the same lashon of damim lamala should have the same halacha. Av damim amurim lamala, shenetana b'matana achat, also should be keeper. Therefore, we now know that there's no need for any special psukim. It's clear that dam zvachecha yishafech would appear both lamala and lamata. But wait, says the Braita, that's not 100% persuasive, is it? I could make this argument. How about if we try this? I'd say there are damim that are said that dam is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, right? And then we also have damim that need to be put on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and they need to be put on the Parochet. So the question over here is, those are special. Obviously, it's not very common, but if you're talking about a Par Elam Dover, or you're talking about a Parkoid Mashiach, so those damim, we learn out from the Pasuk, because it says, the Asa Ka'asher Asa, which means that we're going to actually be Ma'akev. We learned the Par Elam Dover Shel Tzibur from the same din as the Parkoid Mashiach, which means that it's repeated. So just like the damim ha'amurim bifnim, if you missed even one of all of those many matnot dam, im chiser achat mi matanot, lo asa velo klum, because the Torah insisted v'asa kasher asa, if you leave out even one, you have not been yotzei the korban. So therefore, we should say that after mima amurim b'chutz, if we have the word dam b'fnim and the word dam b'chutz, should be exactly the same halacha. So where you're bringing those chataot b'chutz, you should need to bring all four of them, the same way you needed to bring all the seven or the four on the Mizbeach Hazav. And if not, it's not going to be yotzeh. So how do we know what to do? Well, we could figure out what it's most similar to, couldn't we? It doesn't make more sense to compare a chatas chitzona to a chatas pnimit, or does it make more sense to compare a chatat chitzona to other korbanos which are chitzon, asham, eilam, shlamim? If we're going to compare it to the chatas pnimis, you're right, then it's going to be ma'akev. But if we compare it to the chatas, to the other korbanos that are b'chutz, then it won't be ma'akev. So let's try to figure out which more logical. Isn't it more logical to learn the korbanos that are brought b'chutz, not inside of the Beis HaMikdash itself, but in the chutzner? Isn't it more logical to learn chutz mi chutz rather than being dan chutz mi pnim? So dan chutz mi chutz, ve'in dan chutz mi pnim? Well, yes, but you could say the other way. Okolach lo derech zo. Look, I mean, doesn't it make more sense to learn a korban chatas, which is brought on the actual horns of the Mizbeach, right? It's not on the bottom. So it's the four separate, put it on your finger, four separate times you put it on. I mean, that's a whole different type of giving the dam, isn't it? So it makes more sense to compare the chatas, whether to put an arba kronot, b'chutz, from the chatas and arba kronot bifnim. But we're going to bring me a raya from a korban eila, which I don't even put on for a korban asham, a korban shlamim. I don't put it on any kronot, and there's no four. I mean, I don't get how that would make sense. Okay. So now we don't know what to do. Depending on how you look at it, we might derive that the korban chatas is totally ma'akeh. We might derive that the korban chatas only requires one korban, just like the others. So what do we do? Ah, says the Braita. Now that's precisely why the Torah went out of its way to repeat that v'chiper ha-kohen three times. Talmud Lomar, v'chiper, 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 precisely because of this argument that I just made. Mipnei ha-din. And it's coming to tell me you don't know what the din is. Therefore, I'm telling you, you know what? The Kohen is definitely going to be Mechaper. So even if he only did it three times, I tell you he's Mechaper. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Oh, only if he did it, even if he did it only two times, still he was keeper. Oh, only if he did it once, still he was keeper. So each one of those keepers is marba, an additional kapara that you can get away with without doing it completely, which proves, says Beis Hillel, that if you make one matastam on a korban chatas, you're yotze. So therefore, it has nothing to do now with the yesh im lemikra. Okay, then we also said before that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan about Sukkot or Sukkot, right? And we said, well, we thought that that was a machlokas about the yesh im lemikra or yesh im lemasoret. But the problem is now we claim, nobody holds that yesh im lemasoret. Because how else would we know the Yisro Basar B'Cholof? So what then is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan about whether you need two walls and the third one is a tefach, or whether you need three walls and the fourth one is a tefach? What are they arguing about? Something totally different. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan B'Cholof. Rabbi Shimon holds you don't need a separate pasuk to tell me the din of schach. The word sukkah means that there needs to be tzel. There needs to be schach. That's what sukkah means. And therefore, all four basukot that we're talking about over here, you can use them for counting the number of walls. So we have four. And if that's the case, we also have our halacha l'mashe mi-Sinai. So we can knock it down, the fourth wall, to be one tefach. Hashem and the Rabbanan say, no, we need one of those psukim to tell me the din of schach. So we only have three actual mentions of sukkah, and then the halacha l'mashe mi-Sinai cuts down the third, not the fourth. Okay. The other thing that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef claimed was that Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan about nafshot meit, whether you can have blood that comes from two separate mesim, that was dependent, we thought, and now we realize we must have been wrong because of Basar B'Cholof, that we thought was also a machlokas about whether to read it nafshot meit or to go according to the Mesorah and read it nafshat meit. Well, now we know that's not true. So what are we arguing about? Well, now we're going to say that everybody agrees that nafshot is nafshot, not nafshat. Nonetheless, they argue. Rabbi Akiva sover nafshot. Well, nafshot is plural. So nafshot means more than one mate. Rabbanan savre, yes, nafshot means more than one mate, but it's not referring to one case. It's referring to a reference to mate in the world. I'll call nafshot mate. Anybody who's dead, that's all. Of course, there's lots of dead people, but the point is, it's not referring to one case of two metim that contribute towards the same revius of dam. Wait a minute. I don't believe this. You persuaded me that everybody agrees that yesh im lemikra. I know that that's not true. I like the way we said it in the beginning. We're going to have to explain this business about Basar B'Cholof, you know? Because it's like very famous. This question is, how do we know that the tefillin have these four batim in the tefillin? And we darshan that from the word letotafot. V'hayu letotafot. Now, letotafot is repeated three times in the parshiot of Shema. One, of course, is in the Shema proper, the Totafot, and the other is in the Parsha that tells you the Chiyuv of the Kol Bechor, where it also says, the Totafot Bein Einecha. So if we add up the two Totafot that are written without a Vav that appear in Kriyat Shema itself, and then Totafot that appears with the Vav, so then you end up with Tatefet, Tatefet, Totafot. That's 1 + 1 + 2, which is 4. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So apparently we're actually reading it differently than the way that it's written. We're going to be darshaning little tefet as if it was written as singular. Rabbi Akiva says you don't have to learn out the number of batim in the Tefillin Shel Rosh from and analyzing how many times the word totefet is used. It's simply the word totefet means four. Why? Because tot, actually, tot in katve means two. And pot in some African language also means two. So put the two together, tot pot. And what do you get? Tot pot. Tot pot is four. Anyway, but you see very clearly that Rabbi Yishmael was actually saying that we go according to Yesh Em L'Masoret. And now Rav Acha Bar Yaakov tried to persuade me, and I fell for it, that everybody has to hold Yesh Em L'Mikra. I say, let's go back to what we said before. But there's an obvious difference between the case of Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo that makes it a outlier to the normal dinim of the machlokas of Yesh Em L'Mikra or Yesh Em L'Masora. It's really very simple. The Olam Plige, yes, there are big machlokas in about that, but they only argue where there's a difference between the way it's written and the way it's pronounced, right? But when there's no difference, if you read that pasuk, B'Chalev Imo, is there a difference how you spell B'Chalev or how you spell Bechelevimo? None whatsoever. It's written exactly with the same letters. When it's written with the same letters, everybody agrees that the Kabbalah that we have and how to pronounce it, and of course that's binding. So if you're talking about Tatefet, or you're talking about Nafshat, or you're talking about the Yarshian, or what all of those other cases, there's a difference in how it's written from how it's pronounced. So yes, there's a machlokas. But what does that have to do with knowing how to pronounce something when it wouldn't have been written any differently, for God's sake? So therefore, where do we have this machlokas echadushamikra mimesoret, when the reading is different from the writing? But chalev or chalev, it's exactly the same word. And therefore, everybody agrees that, of course, we are taught how to read it properly. It's all spelled the same. That's what I say. Well, says the Gemara, that's a pretty smart answer, but it's wrong. Oh, come on, you're kidding. Nope. Because we've got another case where it's written exactly the same way, and we still are Doresh separately, the Mikra and the Masorah. And that is Yira'eh kol zechurchas pnei Hashem Elokecha, right? So shalosh pa'amim bashana. Now, how is it written? It's written as if it says, Yir'eh kol zechurcha. And we're told that it's meant to be pronounced, Yira'eh kol zechurcha. Now, those are very different meanings. Yir'eh kol zechurcha means all of your males shall see the face of the Lord, right? Yira'eh kol zechurcha means all the males shall be seen. Uh-oh. So, it's totally different. And they're written exactly the same way. And nonetheless, we know that there is a Tana who actually says that we have to be Doresh, the Misora, and the Mikra. The Tanya, Yochanan ben Tahavai Omer, Mishum Reb Yehuda ben Tema. If somebody is blind, even if he's only blind in one eye, he is not chayev to go up to the Beis HaMikdash to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yira'eh. Why? I mean, he can still see, can't he? And it says, shalosh pramim bashana, Yira'eh. I mean, that's how it's written. Ah, because, says Yochanan ben Davoy, because it says Yira'eh, that's how it's written, but it's pronounced Yira'eh. And that tells me that the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to see you, and he sees you with full vision. Kach ba lera'ot, he comes to the Beis HaMikdash to be seen by you. So just like ma lera'ot, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavayocho appears in the Beis HaMikdash and looks at his children, he's seeing b'shtei enav, av lera'ot b'shtei enav. So the person who is coming to see him, he is coming to be seen with the Aliyah Laregel's two eyes. If the guy doesn't have two eyes, how can he be Mekayim a mitzvah of Yera'eh, Yir'eh? Now, you told me before that if it's spelt the same way, then there's no meaning to being Doresh the way that it's read. Now we see that's not true. So now we're back to where we started. There is no way for us to know that cooking basar b'chalav is what's asr, if maybe what it means is cooking with chalev is asr, not with chalav. So now I don't understand. Do we believe that everyone holds that yesh em lemikra or not? Says the Gemara, no, we don't. I just showed you that we don't. But there's another way that I know that that pasuk basar b'chalav is referring to milk and not to fat. And it's a very simple way. Look at what the pasuk says. It says, do not cook. You can't cook in fat. You can fry in fat. You don't cook in fat. And therefore, to be mevashel, it has to be some type of liquid thing. And that must be, therefore, referring to b'chalav. And therefore, the way we have no choice but to understand that in context of saying to Vashel, derech bishul asr Torah, that has got to be b'chalav imo. So it's built in, basically, to the way that the pasuk is written. Okay, wow, that was exciting. Boy, did we go through an awful lot of different sugyas, all here in just one lovely evening. And so tomorrow we get back to discussing our main topic, which is, of course, how many dayanim do we need and what kind of dayanim do we need? And for that, Bezrat Hashem, look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem, Kol Tov, Shavua Tov, Hinei El Yishua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad, Bezrat Hashem.